by the way, those who are listening to us by internet, please feel free that when offering time comes, that if you're part of our congregation here and you're sitting wherever you're going, or if you want to be a part of what God is doing or want to sow in some good soil, please feel free to whatever they do that they've got established there, that you can actually give an offering from where you are. So don't think there's any distance. We're in the Spirit, and there is no distance in the Spirit. So feel free to do that. All right, I'm going to start reading at verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16, therefore it's of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, to not only that which is of the law, but that which is also of which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. All right, we've been talking on the subject of possessing our inheritance, and we're in another section here now. And this section that we're in now is called receiving our inheritance. Big difference. Big difference right now. Receiving our inheritance. Now, as we have come through these various modules of this particular teaching, we're finding out that there is an inheritance for us. And the inheritance is something that Jesus left for us in the will. And he left the last will and testament, which is right here, called the Bible. So we go in here and we find out exactly what he left us in the will. Now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, really probating that will for us. He sent the Holy Spirit to ensure that we get the inheritance, that it's not stolen from us, that God has prepared for us. Now, as we look at this inheritance, we have to receive this inheritance by faith, because it comes in the form to us as the Word of God. But now we have to see that what God says perhaps is not like it looks in the natural. Well, it's not like it looks in the natural because it's in the wrong hands. That some things that God has for us are not in our hands. But that doesn't say that it's not ours. And so what we saw is over Romans chapter 3 and verse 3, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true and every man be a liar. So now we saw that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let's turn over there, please. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we saw a scripture that was bringing out what belongs to us. Now, here is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Now, he underlined all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, underline again, all are yours. And you belong to Christ, and Christ is God's. Now, as we look at this, we're saying here that this inheritance that we have, he says all things are ours. And we said we don't just go out and indiscriminately grab something. We're saying that what he is saying that is in this world from the surface to the core belongs to his people. Now, it belonged to his people at first, back in the Garden of Eden. It belonged to Adam and Eve. But Adam and Eve, through sin, lost it over to the authority of the devil. Now the devil takes it in Luke chapter 4 and offers it to Jesus. He said, all these kingdoms will I give you, and the glory of them, if you would bow down and worship me. All shall be thine. Well, the reason why he could offer him all of this is because the enemy had charge over it. He had authority over it. He had possession of it. So it's in the wrong hands. So let's look again at an analogy where we see that the children of Israel came out of Egypt, came out of hard bondage and labor for a few hundred years. Now they came into the wilderness where God was training them off the system of the world and showing them that he could be trusted to meet their needs every day. But now he's about to take them into Canaan, sent some spies out, and they came back. And 10 of them had an evil report. They began to report something theologically that God didn't say. And the others had a good report. They said, let us go up at once, and we're well able to overcome it. But they were unpopular with that sermon. And as a result of that, they were threatened to be stoned. But what God did was he preserved them. The other leaders died early of plagues. But he preserved these two, that they would get the children that would raised up in the next generation and take them into Canaan. Now God's going to take them into Canaan. He's going to take them into a land that other people are actually living on. In other words, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. And it's a land that's the best that is that time in the earth. So now as we look at that, we see here that this tracks right along with the scriptures that are given to us, because we say the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, and so forth and so on. But everything that we are saying or everything we're thinking about seems to be something that's in the future, seems to be something that one day, by and by, this is going to happen. So what we said is there's a gospel preached, and there's a gospel of salvation which talks about you and I being born again. And once we get born again, now this gospel of salvation really doesn't teach much after that. In other words, it's now working on going to heaven. But we found in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are already seated there with him in heavenly places. So I got heaven made. So now we're bringing heaven down to earth. So now everything that's out of line with the will of God in this earth, I pray thy kingdom come, come on, thy will be done where? In this earth as it is in heaven. So our job is to manifest his kingdom, his will in this earth, just like it is in heaven. So now, as we do this, much of the things that are our promises, the enemy has been sitting on. And what we said is we have to get those things into the right hands. But anytime you're going forward to fulfill the will of God or complete your assignment or get your promise, that battles are necessary for you to get to where you're going. So you're going to have to fight a battle. But you don't fight with sticks and stones and all of that. You fight the good fight of faith. And so now what we had come down to is this word confidence. Now, so when we are this word confidence. So let's go over there. Let's go over to Hebrews and Hebrews chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. All right. In Hebrews chapter 10. Oh. Yeah. I think I'll do this now. Put something right there. And go with me over to Matthew's gospel in Matthew chapter 11. I said Matthew chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And I want to finish up this thing, all things are yours. And I just want to say one more word about this. All things are yours. Now, that means that if it's in this earth, if you have need of it, if it's beneficial for you in any way, those kinds of things, if those things are there, if it meets those parameters, if it's needed for your mission to be completed, if your assignment needs to complete, then you have a right to it. Now, I want you to see this. And this is not something that you transfer, it's something that God transfers. But he has to transfer it through you having faith. Now, I want you to see this, because this is kind of a loose example, but at least it'll show a little bit of what I'm talking about. Look at verse 1. And they came nigh to Jerusalem, but unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, and he sent forth two of his disciples, and said unto them, go your way unto the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never a man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord has need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door, without in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, why do you loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. Now, and they brought the colt to Jesus. Now, notice the colt stayed tied up till Jesus called for it. And that's interesting. Now, I'm just saying all things are yours, but they're going to stay tied up until you call for them. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I told you Hebrews, but let's look at one more place. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I know we've gone there before, but I'm building an image inside of you. See, I want to build an image inside of you that it belongs to you. I don't want you to see it as belonging to somebody else and you getting somebody else's stuff. I want you to see it as you getting what belongs to you. This is your inheritance. Say amen to this. Amen. Look what it said in verse 26. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. Wow. Now notice what the sinner's job is. What is the sinner's job? It's to gather it up. Now what is he gathering it up for? Who's he gathering it up for? He's gathering it up for us, that we can fulfill what God has called us to do, and we can get heaven back to earth. Are you following what I'm saying? See, that's what's happening. That it's really no scarcity. It's just greedy people. It's just folks holding stuff. If you got that much money, at least start some micro businesses in places, and just a lot of things that we could do with money. But it's being held up because when Satan is involved in it, then you have scarcity. Lord have mercy. I hope you all hear what I'm saying. Okay. There's so much we can do with. But, so God knows that you're going to be a blessing. You're not going to just be blessed, but you're going to be a blessing. And look, one more place. Let's look at Psalm chapter 105, please. Psalm chapter 105. Let me know when you get there. Psalm 105. All right. Look what it says here, verse 43. For he brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen with gladness, and gave them the what? Land of the who? Heathen. And they inherited the what? Labor of the people. Now, isn't that something? That this stuff is coming over. It is coming over. Now, understand who gave it to them. Who gave it to them? No, come on with me. Who gave them the land of the heathen? Who gave Israel the land of the heathen? God. And they inherited the what of the people? The labor. So all the labor that went in preparing it, Israel got that. Got it? Okay. We're the church. We're that modern day Israel. We're the people who these promises belong to. Oh, have mercy. Can I just go ahead and say this thing, man? All right, now, the church. We said the church is the most powerful institution in the world ever. Didn't we say that? Yes. Say this with me. The church is the most powerful institution in the world ever. Yes. All right, let me give you another example, because that piece I want to really roll around in your spirit. Let's go to Daniel chapter 2. I know I got to go back to Hebrews. Daniel chapter 2, please. Take your time, all right? I told you where I'm going and where I'm taking you. You got to have some foundation because you're not going to have anything to put your feet on. In other words, you're going to be treading water. I mean, you're not going to have anything you can feel, touch, and say, and so forth, and say, the only thing you're going to have to go by is the Word of God. But you're going to have to be so convinced in the Word of God until the enemy can't keep it from you. All right? Now, look what it says in Daniel chapter 2. Have you got Daniel chapter 2? All right, verse 1. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep break from him. So Nebuchadnezzar dreamed some dreams, and when he dreamed those dreams, he couldn't tell what he dreamed. He forgot what he dreamed and didn't know what it meant. So he called his wise men. Look at me. I'm just shorting some time now. And when the wise men came, they said, Nebuchadnezzar, if you could just tell us what you dream, we'll tell you the interpretation of it. He said, I can't remember what I dreamed. And if you're so good and so wise, why don't you tell me what I dream and then tell me that? Well, they couldn't do it. Well, Nebuchadnezzar, full of rage and fury, he threatened to kill him and so forth. Well, Daniel said, hey, wait. He said, let me have part of this and so forth. So he called Daniel and so forth. Well, he began to tell him what he dreamed. Look what he said in verse 31. He said, thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, the breasts and his arms of silver, belly and thighs of brass, and his legs of iron, his feet part iron and part clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of iron and clay, and brake them into pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken in to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away. There was no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Are you with me? All right. Now he goes on down, and in verse 44, look at this. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, and the silver, and the gold, and the great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain and the interpretation of sure. Now, what was happening? He dreamed a dream of these kingdoms, Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Grecian kingdom, Roman kingdom, and all the way down to the feet, which were 10 toes, which I think the 10 toes represent the 10 Islamic nations. So he showed him all this dream. And then once he did that, this mountain was cut out without hands. And this mountain struck the image on the foot and everything shattered. Now, the mountain that he's talking about is that mountain that was hewed out without hands, which is Christ or his church. Amen. Now, I'm only letting you know that the church is the most powerful institution in the world ever. And it has a mission. And the mission is to destroy the other kingdoms and to raise up a kingdom that will be forever. So now this mountain has just crushed the other kingdoms and now being raised up. Now, this church, I want you to get a picture of, is the most powerful institution in the world ever, because it was designed to go up against the other mountains. Lord, have mercy. We talked about the mountains, the seven mountains, and we talked about the mountain of Media, the mountain of this, mountain of that. So all these mountains now The occupation of those mountains are going to be with the church instead of with the system or people that the enemy has manipulated and managed to be at the top of those mountains. That system is coming down because we're coming in to take over the mountains. Just stay with me. Just stay with me now. All right, let's go to another place. Let's go to another place because you don't seem to be impressed. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I'm telling you, I told you I got to lay the groundwork because where I'm taking you, you can't feel anything. But that is going to be key for you to operate in a zone where all things going to become possible for you. Now, we talk about all things possible for God. Everybody know that. I'm talking about all things impossible. Nothing will be impossible for you. That's what I'm talking about. All things are possible for you. True enough, you're going to have God in you. But you have, Lord have mercy, inside of you is the same nature as God. And he's going to be flowing through you. The Lord is my light, my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? So I'm going to be strong in this thing. And I'm talking about where we're going to come now. We're going to come into a place where we're going to be strong enough to go up against anything that the enemy has messed up. We're going to be able to clean it up. It doesn't make any difference what it is. That's why I want to show you this. Now understand that just stay with me, because I knew, you know, that the enemy was going to try to hinder this thing, but I'm going to come out with this message, and it's going to, and it's good. It's good, but don't pay attention to anything. If any, don't get distracted by anybody moving or anything like that, because I'm about to take you somewhere. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And see, here's what you got to have, especially if you preach this. You got to preach it out of your spirit. You got to release it by faith. You got to believe that somebody got it. Are you following what I'm saying? Because the enemy, during this kind of message, if you come down in your mind just 1 second, he'll tell you they're not listening to you. And I'm just letting you know where the battle is. For you to get to any destiny in the kingdom, you're going to have to fight. And that includes me getting the word to you. I got to fight some thoughts. Are you following what I'm saying? But if you get what I'm talking about right now, Lord have mercy. All right, let's keep going. Verse 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church. Now notice the thing, God bless you. Notice the categories. Jews, Gentiles, or the church of God. Those are the three categories. Those are the three categories the Bible has here of division that exist in this earth. Jews, Gentiles, and the church. So you're a separate group unto yourself. And you've been born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. So you were born by the word of God. And if you were born by the word of God, the word is God. The word is God. The word in the beginning was the what? Word. The word was with God, and the word what? Was God. Now, the word and God are one. So you were born. Whatever God has in him, you've got in you. Come back to Matthew chapter 10, please. Matthew chapter 10. Yes. Yes, amen. All right, look at Matthew chapter 10. Now listen, I told you just because I'm not jumping around, shouting, and so forth. See, folks want to be entertained, boy. If you don't have no entertainment going on, they're not that interested. But what I'm trying to do is give you something that when the devil try to put a sickness on your life, you can get him off. When the devil tries to break up your household, you can get him off. When the devil tries to put your kids on drugs, you can get him off. When the enemy tries, it doesn't make any difference. Here, listen, I'm giving you something because this is your inheritance. Your inheritance is that sickness is not supposed to come nigh your dwelling. That means your whole house, that's your inheritance. If the fact that he's getting in there doing that, then that means he's sitting on your inheritance and you need him off. Say amen to that. Wealth and riches supposed to be in your house. Folks, he said wealth and riches because wealth is more than money. Wealth is intellectual property. Wealth is more than just something tangible. Wealth and riches are going to be in your house. Well, if it's not in your house, then the devil got your goods and you need them back. Say amen to that. And I'm saying all of that is for the church, but the church supposed to be controlling all of this, but it hasn't been that way. And it hasn't been that way because it hadn't been taught. Well, for us to teach it, I'm going to have to get you to let go of the flesh. And that's why I'm taking you right now. And fleshly folk don't want to let go. This is what happened in the wilderness. They didn't want to go into Canaan. In Canaan, folks, you can't. Your senses, see, Lord have mercy, I'm just talking now. Satan is the god of this what? World system. He's the god of it. God is not running the world. Satan is. But you and I are supposed to be running him. So wherever the soles of our feet tread, he can be dispossessed. See, and this is what I got to teach you, folks. You're not going to learn this in 3 points in a poem. You're not going to learn this in a little half an hour, little 20-minute broadcast. You're not going to, that's where you get this. You got to learn this by paying attention, glory to God, and not rushing the prophet. That's what you got to do. That's what I want to say. And I'm not going to keep you all day. I'm saying, hey, wait a second. I got something to say. Now, look what it says here. Now, think about the church now. It's different. It's different. It's different from the Old Testament Jew. It's different because in the Old Testament, did you ever hear of them casting out one devil? No. Nope. They didn't have that kind of power. You got it. You got it. Say amen to that. So look what it says here. And this is Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. And when he had called unto his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Now, if you can look at this, this is kind of a foretaste of the church. Look what he said in verse 8. This is the power of the church now. Heal the what? Sick. Keep going. Cleanse the leper. Keep going. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have received and freely you give. You got what I'm saying? So I'm just saying here that you've got an ability to operate at a level that the world is not even familiar with. And you're supposed to come in and demonstrate a whole new dimension. And Jesus came to start or create a whole new dynasty. Now, stay with me. All right, I told you to go to Hebrews chapter 10. Come on over there, please. Hebrews chapter 10. All right. This is where you have to hold on to your faith, because there's not going to be anything tangible to hold on to. All right. Now, verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of what? Patience. That after ye have done the will of God, you might what? Receive what? The promise. So it's the promise that you're after. What is the promise? The promise is God promised me healing. What is the promise? Promise is that wealth and riches are supposed to be in my house. What is the promise? The promise is I'll never be ashamed. What is the promise? The promise is peace. What is the promise? The promise is joy. What is the promise? The promise is all my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great is the peace of all my children. These are promises now. This is your inheritance. And if it's not in there, then somebody's sitting on it. Somebody's got trying to keep you from what Jesus left you in the will. Got it? Now, stay with me. So he says, cast not away therefore your confidence. Now, why is he saying that? Because you're going to the other side. Now, remember what they did. Jesus told his disciples, let us go to the other side. This is Mark chapter 4. And they got in the boat and journeyed. Jesus fell asleep. Storm comes. They woke Jesus up. Don't you care that we're about to die? I'm paraphrasing. Jesus woke up, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace be still. There was a great calm. He turned to them. He said, now why are you so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, saying one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Oh, cool off. Cast not away your confidence. You're going to have to go from where you are to your promised land. I don't care whether you're believing for healing. I don't care whether you're believing for a job. I don't care what it is. But on the way, what I'm telling you is a battle is going to be necessary to get to where you're going. Now, in the middle of that battle, don't cast away your confidence. Now, we said confidence is assurance, it's trust, it gives you boldness, it's something that you feel confident about, all right? So, if I'm talking about confidence, I need it in my life because it's a major treatment against fear. Let's go to the life of Hezekiah. Turn to 2 Kings and chapter 18, please. 2 Kings, do I have a few more minutes with you? 2 Kings chapter 18. Folks, we getting our stuff. And we getting all of it. I said, we getting all of it. See, we have been paying for what has been given. See, you never were supposed to. Let me ask you something. If I'm on assignment and I'm in the military, which I was in the Air Force, I mean, did they expect me to pay for my dental treatment? Nope. I just make a schedule, a call and make an appointment at the dental office, and I go down the dental office and get treated. Did they expect me to pay for my housing? Nope. Even if I stayed off base, they would give me base housing money because I wouldn't pay for anything. Why? I'm on assignment. Now, understand, the kingdom is not religion, because religion doesn't have any assignment. The kingdom is a government, and you are on assignment. So if you need your kids to go to college, stay with me, and you are on assignment, why would I expect you to pay for that? No, you still trying to read. I told you, let God be true and every man a liar. Everything that you would need in this earth is yours. It already has been yours, but the donkey stayed tied up until faith called for it. And I'm telling you, we've been paying for tuition that's already been paid for through the blood of Jesus Christ. Everything your children will need is already paid for. The military gave me money to cover everything. Oh, Lord, can y'all see this here? This is most important now. Hey, it doesn't make any difference. You're in the middle of a situation and you need some peace. Do you know that peace had been given to you? That you can grab yourself a little bit of peace. Folks, I was in Africa. And I'm in Africa, in Uganda. I'm back there in the sticks. I'm thinking I'm going to minister in Kampala, but in the city. And no. They said, tomorrow morning, Pastor, we're leaving. I said, leaving for where? Hey, we're going out to where we're going to minister. I said, okay. I said, how far is it? I'm thinking about down the road. It's about 8 hours, 8.5 hours. I said, oh, Lord Jesus. And here we go out there in them sticks. And we got out there, man, and it was a hotel was supposed to be sent there, Maracana, I think it was called. And the hotel had two rooms in it. Watch this. And the rooms were a window with no screen, no pane, no nothing. Just something to look out of. And I'm now, wait a minute, it's malaria there. Come on now, it's snakes there. Snakes that bite and hit your nerve, so it kills you quick. You know what I'm saying? Them nerve biting snakes. And here I am. Now wait a minute. I got to sleep through this. You better hear what I'm saying. See, you laughing now, but I'm telling you, I needed some peace. Man, I'm telling you that thing. So what happened? Well, I said, no. And they had a net. You could get under the net and sleep under the net so that the mosquitoes won't come in, because malaria was really raging. And the window was just open. And now I lay down there. When I lay down, man, looked like, I mean, here come the voice of the devil. You will never get up. You have laid your last lay. Man, you wait. Now I'm telling you, don't turn the light off, because they'll be coming through the window. Folks, every imagination. Then I got a hold of a scripture, because I couldn't go to sleep. But here's the one I took by faith. The Lord gives his beloved sleep. Now you can see how Jesus could sleep through a storm, because he was sleeping supernatural. See, when you go this place, when you see all of this, now the scriptures make sense. But I gotta preach the gospel the next day. But I got a battle on the way. Got it? Now every promise you're going after has a battle on the way. But cast not away your confidence. Don't throw it away. So now, where do I have you now? Where do I have you now? Where? Oh, okay. Well, I won't go through all of this because I'm just about out of time. Are y'all with me? Now, the situation may not be this strong, but you let some diagnosis come and some doctor tells you, hey, you got stage 3. You watch. Look like every demon come in there to try to reinforce everything. And they start pulling out flip charts. Well, your grandmama had this. You know, she didn't make it. And then your great-grandmama had this. And you got to cast that down just as fast as it comes up. You got to cast it down. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, resist the devil. Come on. And he'll flee from you. Now remember what I told you, which is your assurance, is part of your confidence, that nothing and no circumstances can stop you from reaching your destiny. Watch this, but you. nothing but you. Watch this. God made it that way.
Amen.
He made it that way. He set up the rules that way. Then nothing. Do you realize that when you take on confidence in your life, I wrote it down here, confidence triggers the anointing. And that anointing will protect you in the middle of the woods. Can't nothing get past that anointing. So I wrote something else down here. That the enemy speaks words to try to wear you out. And the moment you listen, you're almost finished. So you got to make sure that you gird yourself up with some scripture. Now, I don't have time to read all of this now, but Hezekiah was doing a great job. God said he followed the Lord just like David followed the Lord. But what happened? The Assyrians were coming down and taking all the fenced cities. So all the battles, they were fighting Israel in all the outlying suburbs, whatever have you, and taking them. And then it came to Hezekiah. He said, okay, king, give it up. I understand. They start naming off the battles that they won. Okay? Because the enemy likes to boast. In verse 13. Now in the 14th year of Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me. That which thou puttest on me, I will bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. In other words, give me about $30 million, partner, and I'll let you off. Well, he not only gave him that, the Bible says he gave him all the silver that was found in the house and of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. At that time, did Hezekiah even cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria, trying to get this devil off his back. But how many of you know the devil won't stop? He wants everything, including life. So what happened now? And the king of Assyria sent Tarkin and Rapshuras and Rams with great host against Jerusalem. So he goes show himself now. Now he's boasting. He's sending all his men and so forth standing around Jerusalem. Now he starts talking. Verse 19. And Rapshakeh said unto them, this is the enemy now, speak ye now to Hezekiah. Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria. What confidence is this wherein you trust? What are you putting your confidence in? See? And then he said in verse 21, now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of the bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it'll go through his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust on him. But if you say unto me, we trust in the Lord God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away and hath said unto Judah and Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem? Now therefore I pray thee, give pledges, give me some taxes to my Lord, the king of Assyria, and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders on it. You're so weak you can't even fight if I give you horses. Okay? Now, I won't even go through the rest of it. Read it yourself, 18 and 19. Good reading for you. But here's what happened. How does confidence come? It comes through the Word of God. And in Acts chapter 27, verses 20 through 25, the Bible says all hope that Paul and his company would be saved was gone. I'm talking about a person in here that the doctor said, all hope that you can get well is gone. But an angel appeared to Paul. And he said, Paul, fear not, that you will be saved and this whole ship. And Paul came back and preached it. And this is what Paul said at the end of it. Sirs, I believe God.
Amen.
Now, so what did Hezekiah do? He went and sent his men to Isaiah, the prophet. What was he looking for from the prophet? He needed a word. What was the word going to do? Build confidence. He was in a battle. He's trying to go to the other side. So what happened with that? He got the word. Isaiah sent the word back. Once he sent the word back to him, he got the word, spread it out in the temple, and began to pray to God the word. See, a lot of people pray their feelings. Lord, prop me up on the leaning side. Hey, that ain't going. Get the word of God and pray it. Watch this. With no feelings attached. No feelings. Folks, the times that I've had the most powerful prayers answered in my life, I had no feelings. I said, Lord, I waited till my family left the house. I was down in Tulsa. I said, Lord, listen, I need some things. I said, I put 10 of them down. I'm lacking some stuff here. And I said, I put scriptures down beside. I went in there, took a shower, put on a shirt just like I was still at IBM, put on a white shirt with vest, you know what I mean? Came in the living room, got on my knees, began to praise God. Why? He said, come before him with thanksgiving and pray. I started praising God. Then I said, good morning, Lord. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. So glad to be here, so forth. And I talk a little bit, and then I say, hey, I got some things I want to take up with you. See, this is a government. This ain't religion. And I said, got some things, see. Now, in the Air Force, I would have said this. I got some requisitions I got to make here. See, that's all you got to do. Requisition means replacement. It means, hey, I spent some money, now replace it for me. Think about it. I just bought the kid something, now replace that for me. Just fill out a requisition. And how do you do it? The tongue is a pen of a ready writer. It's a pen, see. And I'm taking you somewhere now. I'm taking you where most of the church is not. You're still in the wilderness. That's why we're fighting and division and who's the best preacher and all of that. All of that's immaturity. We're going to grow up now. So what happened? He read that before the Lord. God came back and Isaiah sent a word to him. He said, tell Hezekiah, the Lord has heard his prayer. Last scripture, turn to 1 John chapter 5. I'm taking you off the flesh now. I know we like to dance and shout and kick over the church benches and Hammond organ dancing things. That's all right. But look at the people. They're still broke.
Yeah. That's right.
Come on now. Look at them. They're still fussing. Mad with somebody up in here. Won't even sit beside them. Yeah, I'm talking about you now. But we're going to get rid of all this because if you get to where I'm telling you to get, your flesh won't rule you like that.
Hallelujah.
I don't know about you, but I want all my stuff. Come on, I want everything that the devil stole back to my great-great-great-great-granddad. I don't even know him, but I know some stuff been stolen. Because I know the devil. Are you with me? All right, what did I tell you to turn? Come on, who wants to go to Uganda with me? Come on, praise God. All right, okay. Tell you, I ain't going back in the woods. I said, the devil ain't going to trick me like that no more. I ain't going. Okay, I'm going. Okay, now where did I tell you to turn? First John. Man, I was back there. Tony went with me, Tony, in television. Man, this is, man, what's going on here? Man, you know, you got to ride through a lot of barriers and where soldiers are and so forth. And you got to have one of them top soldiers with you, because if not, you will have to pay your way. Everybody looking for, you know, you want to get through here, you're going to have to, you know what I mean? Well, when we had the big boys, well, we had boys with rifles, man. Man. But I'm here. Okay. Look at verse 14, please. Are you with me? This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, come on, what happens? He heareth us. And if we know that he what? hear us. You can add an S on there if you're English major. We know that he hear us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. Wow. Now notice, in order for us to receive our promise, we must leave the realm of the senses and operate in the realm of the spirit. Now, this is a biggie, because this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask how many things? Anything. According to his what? Will. What will? His will right here. Then he what? He hears us. And if we know that he what? Hear us. Keep going. Whatever we ask. That sounds like a blank check to me. Doesn't it sound like one to you? We know that we what? Have the petition that we desired of him. Now let me ask you a question. When you pray, how do you know God heard you? How do you know he heard you? Because you what? You ask. How did you ask? You ask what? According to his will. Now, a part of his will is whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Keep going. Believe you what? Receive them and you shall have them. Now, when do you believe you receive them?
Now,
when you pray. See, the moment you pray, you believe, you receive it. The moment you release it, you believe, I receive that. Why? How did you receive it? In the spirit. Because everything is spiritual first before it's natural. Say amen to that. So I'm going to pray, and this is the confidence that I have in him, that if I ask anything according to his will, he's going to hear me. And Isaiah sent back a word to Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the Lord has heard. Why? Because Hezekiah didn't stray away from the paper that Isaiah wrote it on. I'm saying don't stray away from that paper that Jesus had codified for you, and you pray that prayer. And once I was in that house, I prayed them 10 things. I gave God his answer for the prayer, and I wrote it out what his promise was, and I reminded of his promise. And at the end of that prayer, I said, any questions? He asked me one question. I gave him the answer, and I started thanking him. Now, what happened is Hezekiah, once he prayed it, he was at peace. And I'm telling you that if you believe you receive when you pray, you will not pray that prayer ever again. And the only way you would pray that prayer ever again is that you never believe you received.
Amen.
Say amen to this. So I'm going to get you with such confidence that you can pray a prayer one time, believe you received it, and you might not have it. You will have what you pray. Say amen to that. Spiritual reality is more sure than the natural one. See, nothing can stop it if it's coming through the spirit. Can't nothing, because the angels got it. And one angel can whip 140,000 men and slay them in one night. Well, you got a bunch of them that's helping you get your stuff. And all you got to do is pray it, believe you've received it. You prayed the will of God. I got news for you. God heard you. And if he hears you, you must believe that you have what you prayed the moment you prayed it. So the last thing was Jonah. Here was Jonah. In Jonah chapter 2, he was on a boat. He was going with some guys. And everything got rocky. I mean, that was a rough go on that boat. And they said, it must be somebody on here. They're not supposed to be on here. How many of you know you might have somebody on your boat right now? And that's the reason why you're having all these problems. Because you hooked up with somebody on your boat that's got no business on your boat. Put them out. Put them over the side. They can swim. Some big fish will pick them up. Let them go. Stop trying to hold on to them. They're just hitchhiking. They're just trying to go where you're going. But they're rocking your boat because they're in disobedience. They're out of the will of God. And you trying to carry them somewhere. You ain't got no business carrying them. Get yourself over there. Can't nobody stop you from reaching your destiny but you. So I'm talking to somebody now. Because see, we be so, you know, we want to carry everybody. You need to get there first and then come back and get them. Tell them, stay over here. I'll be back in 2 years. I'm going to get this thing worked out, and I'll be back to get you. But I got to get me some money before I get you, and you holding me back. So just stay there. I'll be in touch. Come on. I'll be in touch. Come on. Somebody needs to say that. Tell them I'll be in touch. I know that's right. That's from me. I'll be in touch. Hey, listen. Nobody can stop you. And don't think, well, Pastor, I missed an opportunity. Ho, ho, ho. God will bring it back around. He's a God of a second chance. He know what the devil did to you. They bring him back around. But what did they do? They threw him overboard. Everything got peaceful. Then the big fish swallowed him up. And he was in the fish's belly aching. Talking about how bad everything is. With seaweed around his neck. But what did he do? He stopped that. He said something in Scripture. He said, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. What does that mean? You're looking at the problem too hard. You're looking at the news too much on TV. You see what it does? It starts stripping you of your confidence. So what did he do? He woke up. He said, now, I tell you what, I'm going to receive my deliverance. And if I receive it now, then I'm going to start thanking God. And he began to start thanking and praising God, and the fish spit him out. I'm telling you, you might be in the fish's belly. Stop belly aching and start praising God and thanking him because it's already done. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we have. We're going over and not under. Amen. All right, take a seat for just a moment, please. Give me a moment just so I can call for souls. And it really helps when you stay here and pray for them, because when you do that, you get a part of the inheritance for them coming in. It means something when you get to heaven. I want you to know something. This place that I took you today is at Kadesh Barnea. It's that place that's entering into the promised land. Because we want to talk about this a little bit more. Because what has happened in the natural, if you're trying to receive it, you try to bring it down to a place where you can pay for it. You try to shrink the contents of it so that it'll meet your budget. God wants to take it far past your budget. You know why? Because you are so rich right now in the eyes of God until you can't even imagine it with your own imagination. That's how rich you are. Why? Because you're the son of a king. You're the child and daughter of a king. I like what King Ahasuerus told Esther. He said, Esther, what is it that you want? I will give it to you up to half of my kingdom. See, you're the bride of Christ. And he's asking you, what is it that you want? And I'll give it to you up to half of my kingdom. Why? We're joint heirs. with Jesus. Folks, this is so rich. And you got it today. Now you know that once you pray, it's a done deal. Don't try to feel it. Now, I got to talk to you a little bit more about this. Because when you try to feel it, you pull down to your mind. And when you pull it down to your mind, it shorts out faith. So you have no faith anymore. So don't try to feel it. That's why some people say, don't believe for anything that's possible. Because your mind will grab it. Once your mind grabs it, it doesn't get into your spirit. Your mind trying to figure it out. Don't try to figure it out. Say it. Believe it and receive it. That's wonderful, isn't it? It is so easy until people miss it. You got to have help to misunderstand this. And we had a lot of help. But this is what Brother Kenneth Hagin preached for 50 years. Mark 11:24. And I'm telling you, if you get that, you have just almost mastered most of the New Testament. Because for you to get it, you're going to have to come off your flesh. And that's most of the battle right there. If you're here, you know you need Jesus. I got news for you. It's good news. You're in the right place. Because He needs you. He wants you to help do His work. He desires for you to help do His work.